trust in you. Oh Lord Jehovah, you, I trust in you. I believe you. Oh, I trust in you. Yes, oh Lord Jehovah, you, I trust in you. Do you believe him this morning? Hallelujah. Yes. We sing all together. Jehovah.
Jehovah, you, I trust in you.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Jehovah, you,
I trust.
I trust in you.
Sing again.
Trust in you,
oh Lord.
Oh Lord, Jehovah, you,
I trust
in you.
I believe you are.
Bye-bye.
Fight for their God. Jesus, you know they use me play. Oh, na, 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 na. No, no, they play. Oh, you can see it again. You carry me when some carry their God. You feed me, Lord, when some feed their God.
Keeping God, the covenant keeping. Jesus. Thank you, Father. You are the covenant-keeping God. And we come before you with thanksgiving today. We trust you with our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You will never deny yourself. And yourself is in us. And therefore we know that you will not deny us as you live in us. Blessed be your holy name. Guide us, keep us, direct us, and help us this day as we go forth in the wisdom of your Spirit to magnify your holy name. Speak to us, teach us, and help us know indeed that we belong to you and that you're sovereign over our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see you this evening as we come together to explore the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week we were talking about prayer. And this morning, it seemed like I went off from that subject as we talked about responsibility. But really, we were not out of that topic. And so tonight, I want to continue with that trend of thought, bringing prayer and responsibility together, so that we have an understanding about why we pray. But before I get to that, I want us to look at something in the Word of God. In Mark 16, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, those that believe shall cast out devils. You say, well, that's not how it says it. It says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Yeah, I'm saying to you, it's saying, this sign shall follow them that believe. Those that believe in my name shall cast out devils. So if you don't believe in his name, you will not cast out devils. And then he says, they shall speak with new tongues. Oh, wait a minute. Those that believe shall speak with new what? Tongues. So everything is anchored on them that believe. Them that believe. Okay. How is it possible for us to believe then? Do we believe in our own strength or in our own ability, or does God give us the ability to believe? And I will say to you, God gives us the ability to believe. But believing, when God gives us the ability to believe, is a choice. So God gives everybody the ability to believe. God gives everybody the ability to believe. You say, I don't know about that. You're sitting on a chair right now. When you came, you just plunked yourself on the seat because you believed that the seat will hold you up. When you left your home today, you had a belief that you're going to church and that you'll arrive here. Now, some people may not arrive, but that was the purpose. You believed. Some people went on a plane today and they flew from one point to the other. They did not see where they were going. There are no roadmaps in the sky. They don't know the pilot, but they walked into that plane believing. Believing is an innate thing that God has placed inside of us. So, the object of our belief becomes the decision that we make. And he says, if you believe, these signs are going to follow you. You're going to cast out devils, and this sign is going to follow you. You're going to speak with a new tongue. Now, speaking with new tongues is not just rabashakalabarakusekerebataye. New tongues is about new talk, that your thinking is going to change and your talk is going to change. He says, and they're going to take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is a sign that follows those who believe. Wow. Then it says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Point. The promise was given. If you believe, this is going to happen. Let's assume for a moment that they didn't go out to preach. Then there will be no Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm saying there are lots of promises in the word of God. But none of it will ever happen if we don't do our part. Let's look at the Gospel of Matthew for a moment. The Bible tells us in Matthew, verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. I have it. All power in heaven. All power in the earth. And on the basis of this truth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. On the basis that I have all power in heaven and on earth, go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So whatever it is I have commanded you, I want you to go tell them, I have all the power in heaven, I have all the power in the earth, and I'm telling you to go tell them what I told you. So what is all this power about? All this power is that as you tell them, my power is going to be with you to bring them to believing. Notice, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, All the way, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. This is my promise. I've got all the power. I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the age, to end of the time. And all I want you to do is go preach, go teach. So God has his part, and we have our part. Now, let's bring that to what we're talking about earlier today, about responsibility. We brought those two words, that word responsibility, and we split it into two. I said, look at it as a compound word. Respondability is responsibility. So responsibility is the ability to respond. We together so far? The ability to respond to whatever needs to be done. And the promise of the Lord here is that he's got all the power in heaven and in earth. It's been given to him. Therefore, you have the ability. So what is my reason of saying, oh, it is so hard. People are not going to believe. How valid is that statement? He says, I've got all the power, I can break through. I've got all the power, I will influence them. I want you to go teach them. I want you to go disciple them. I want you to go heal them. I want you to go cast out devils. Let's go back to that Mark passage. Mark 16 again. He says to us, that he has energized us, given us the capacity. Matthew 16, please. He says, if we believe in him, these signs are going to follow us. We are going to do what? Cast out what? Devils. What did it say? Cast out what? Devils. And then speak with new tongues. Right there before us, it's laid out. The process that must be followed to bring about the change that we want to see happen. Believe me, and in my name you're going to cast out devils. Well, he told us already, you cannot break into a strong man's house except you first what? Bind a strong man, then you can spoil his house. You want to see people saved, then understand that there are serpents there. There are devils there operating in there. I am saying to you, if you believe in me, you have the capacity and the ability to cast out those devils so that you can speak to the person who is now free from the demonic oppression and demonic influence so they can now hear. Oh, all I need to do is just go, just preach to them. No. 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 You got to cast out the devils. Oh, but they are wearing a three-piece suit and nice tie and, you know, they're blue-eyed and nice blonde hair and therefore, and they're educated and I can just talk to them. No. 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 They got devils. They are devils to be cast out. Because they're not foaming in the mouth does not mean they don't have devils. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded them. And if he's blinded them, he's also deafened them. You cannot just go casually and preach. You got to deal with principalities. The Bible says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Those are the forces that you and I are dealing with. Are we together so far? Let's go to the book of Ephesians real quickly, chapter 6, and hear the directives of the Lord concerning that issue. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning to read from verse 10, these are the mandates. It says, "Finally, brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." What is this power of his might? It is in our believing in him. It says, you got to do this. It says, and secondly, you need to put on the whole armor of God. This is what you need to be availed of before you can deal with this other aspect. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The enemy that you are going after is trickery. He has tricks. He's very cunning. He's very sly. So don't go without being prepped. Be ready. You need to have the ability to respond. And for you to have this ability, you got to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you. God is not going to take unto you. You got to take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? So that you are able to withstand in the evil day. There is an evil day. There is going to be an attack. And you need to be able to withstand. The enemy is going to pour everything he can pour on you. He's going to bring the big guns and they're going to rain it on you. But you need to be able to withstand. To withstand means that you need to be able to stop. You need to be able to resist. And the Bible says when you resist the devil will do what? Flee from you. So it is in resistance that the enemy begins to move back. But I have to have the capacity to take all the fire. Oh, you need to have the capacity to take on the fire. Oh, the devil's on my case. No. That's not the deal. The deal is that God gives me the capacity to withstand in the evil day, and having done all that I need to do to stand. What are some of the all that I need to do? Submit yourself unto God. Then resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. But you've not submitted yourself to God. And you want to start doing what? I'm a spiritual warrior. No. I know how to pray. I know how to fast. I know how to this. I know how to that. But you don't. You've not submitted yourself to God. You've not taken on the responsibility to subject your body to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but you want to go fight some devils. That's how a lot of people that you see, supposedly Christians, are in the psych ward. They're still busy quoting scriptures. Go to the psych ward. And you see a lot of religious people there. They're doing spiritual warfare. I have a deliverance ministry. And you look at the guy is so demonized. You look at his eyes, you say, oh, this guy's got devils. Because I've not learned how to submit. Oh, I only listen to God. I only submit to God. Listen, God puts leaders in front of you, and you cannot listen to them. You cannot follow instruction. You're so rebellious, but you want to fight devils. You can't submit to anybody. You can't listen to anybody. You, Mr. Know-it-all, but you're going to go fight devils. No, you learn how to submit yourself. The Bible actually says submit yourselves one to another, and it's talking about husbands and wives. You know why there's so much trouble sometimes in homes? They've not learned how to submit one to the other. And so they cannot stand together to resist the devil because they've not learned how to submit to each other. You know, one of the key things God does to help us as married people to have grace to overcome is to help us learn the powerful key of submission. Want to win battles, but you've not learned how to submit one to the other. Sooner or later, there will be a different manifestation. Got to learn that. Because it's in that that we begin to be able to withstand. Then it says, watch this, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Then it says, stand therefore. Three times it's used the word stand in one form or the other. Stand therefore. How? Having your loins girded about with truth. You willing to hear truth? Or do you get upset and annoyed because truth has been shared? It says, have your loins girth with truth. Have that belt of truth that holds your core together. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. Right standing before God. He says, you got to have this if you're going to be able to resist the devil so that he flees from you. Now, that which God has made available and brings ability to you and I, number one, truth. Number two, righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is the gospel that you preach. Know the word of God, the gospel of peace, recognizing that the God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet, that the victory is yours. He says, you got to have that. He says, and not just that, above those first three that I told you about, take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. Why do I need the shield of faith? He says, because that's what you're going to use to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. He is going to hail everything on you, but you got to take that shield of faith to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and all spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. There's spiritual wickedness. And those wicked spirits, twisted spirits, weaker spirits. They're going to rain darts at you. They're going to shoot all kinds of arrows at you. And the idea is to burn everything around you. He says, but I got a shield for you. This shield quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. How is the shield of faith? And what is this shield of faith? When you think about the shield of faith, we generally just think about just this regular shield. But the shield of faith is the water of the word. The shield of faith is the prophetic declarations of God on your life. Are you with me? The enemy tries to contradict what God says. You say, it is written. Hello? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is the word of God. The shield of faith is Jesus, your sovereign Lord. His faith as the word of God. It is that shield that is your protection. The Lord says, I have given you that ability, and that ability is my ability. I've given you my ability. That ability is my word. Nothing is without the word. And so you can shut out the system of the enemy because my ability is downloaded into your spirit if you will believe it. And then it says, if you believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. And then it says, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. If you believe, nothing shall be impossible to you. So, what is a common factor? My belief is in God. I believe in God. My belief in God means that I understand that God is above all. He's above all. He's sovereign. He has all power in heaven and in the earth. And I'm submitted to him. And as I submit myself to him, I have all of his power flowing in me and through me to manifest his glory now and at all times. He says, this is how you're going to quench that. He says, then I need for you to do what? Take the helmet of salvation. Understand that you are saved. Because the enemy is going to come at you and tell you you're not saved. There's no way you're saved. You are lost. No. I am saved yesterday. I am saved today. I'm saved tomorrow. And no, that's not possible. Yes, it's possible. Why do you say it's possible? Because he has saved me to the utmost. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He saw me at my worst. He saw my past, he saw my present, he saw my future, and he came into my life and said, you I save. I'm saved. I have the helmet of salvation. And watch this. The helmet of salvation is about how you think. That's why I say helmet is covering your head, your spiritual brain power. He says, take the helmet of salvation and then also take the sword of the Spirit. And he tells us what the sword of the Spirit is. It's not only the shield that quenches, it is also the sword that pierces. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. That says to you, says to me, you are made more than a conqueror. Now, why did I go out through all of this so far? I went through all of that to say to us that the ability for us to respond has been given to us, but we need to take, he says there. Take. You got to take it. You got to take this, you got to take that, you got to take this, you got to take that. God is not going to take the helmet of salvation from you. He provides it. He says, this is the helmet of salvation. This is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. No, but you're going to put it in the shelf and dust it off every Sunday, if that. Take the shield of faith. Then it says, praying always. This is part of this part of the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. Watching thereunto praying always. With all perseverance. When it seems like nothing is working, just keep on persevering. And supplication. Watch this. For all saints. Oh, why is that necessary? I should just pray for myself. He said, no. You want to win? Pray for all saints. Pray for everybody. Pray for them. Pray for you. And says, if he didn't get it, notice supplication for all saints. And then he says, and for me. Is he a saint? Or is he saying, oh, you know what? I'm not a saint. So you pray for me too. No, he's a saint. He's a believer. He's been used by God to write that particular scripture to us. He says, and pray for me. Why? For what? That utterance may be given unto me. The utterance, the capacity to proclaim the word of God. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Because there's resistance. There is resistance. I want to be able to proclaim boldly. I want to be courageous to declare the mystery of the gospel. He says, because I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why do we need to pray for that, Paul? You have it already. Jesus has given it to you already. Why do we need to pray for you? Yeah, you need to pray for me because I tell you what, sometimes the battle is so hot that I don't know where I'm going to be able to stand. And I need you to stand for me. I need you to come and put your shoulder behind my back while you're fighting, just so I can stand. Because everybody needs help. Oh, if you don't believe that, look at Jesus. He's going to the cross. Is he not? Is he falling under the weight of the cross? Is he? Nobody's got all that. If Jesus, our Lord, can fall under the weight of a cross, anybody can fall under the weight of the cross, and everybody needs help. I'm supposed to be there to help you. You're supposed to be there to help me. It is not your place to come kicking me and say, look at you, lazy man. It's for you to come around and say, man, I know it's tough. Come, just put your hand here. Let me help you. Give courage and strength. How can you help me do my assignment? And how can I help you do your assignment? Pastor, he's got it. He knows the word. And he prays and he worships the Lord. And he's been around before I was born. He's been around for the longest time. There's no way he's going to make any mistake. There's no way he's going to fail. There's no way. Praise God for all of that. But the reality is this. If Paul says, pray for me, I am also saying, pray for me. I need to pray for you. You need to pray for me. That is our responsibility for each other. You are your brother's keeper. I am your keeper. Oh, I guess it's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord, your keeper, keeps me through the people he brings around me. God works through people. Hello? This is the reality. Like my papa will say, let's take the mask off. Take off the mask. We all need help. I am responsible for you. You are responsible for me. We're responsible for each other. Nobody has everything. Everybody has a part they need to play. And the question then is, whatever part I have I brought it to the table? Whatever giftings I have, did I bring it to the table? Or am I busy yapping away, griping about what is not happening? This is not happening. We need this, we need that. Okay, we need this and we need that. How and what role are you playing to make sure that that particular thing that we need is available? If you cannot do it, are you praying that God will send forth laborers into the harvest field? What are we doing? How are we responding? Let me look at another passage while we're talking about this. Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and the point I'm trying to make today is this, that we have a role to play if there is going to be a different result. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us, he says, who do men say that I am? And they say, something, you're Jeremiah, Elijah, blah, 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 and so on. And so he said, but who do you say? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. On the foundation, on this basis of this particular truth that you've just revealed, I am going to build my church. Now, we jump on the fact that it says, thou art the Christ, but we don't go further and explore and say, okay, what does it mean when he says, thou art the Christ? Well, if we understand that statement, we understand that the Christ came to serve and not to be served. That means that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the revelation that came forth, was saying, on the basis of my people serving, I will build my church. And would you know it? 80% of the people in the church sit down doing nothing. 80% of the church, in any church, or let me put it this way, most churches in the world, 80% don't give. 20% run the whole system. 20% do all the serving. They're in this department and in that department, 80% just come and sit down to criticize. They don't come to serve. 80%. And that is the best number. There's some numbers as low as only 10% are doing all the work. So if you have a high percentage of the people engaged in serving, oh, you're doing good. When I think about just this church, I will say 20% do most of the financial giving. At the end of the year, there will be maybe 10% of the people in this church that gave over $1,000. I'm not jiving. I can open my iPhone right now, my iPad, and show you the bookkeeper's report. Then it jumps to people that give 10,000, 15, 20, 30, 40, and that's like 0 point something. The rest, $250. But the lights has to be on. Bills have to be paid. Not engaged, not involved, not pursuing the things of God, but they think things just happen. So I'm thankful to the Lord when he said to me so many years ago, don't look at these people and turn these stones to bread. So when I talk about, you know, sometimes people say to me, you're so casual with the offering time. You know, you should, you know, just hit hard on it. Then people will give. And say, they know what to do. It's time to give. If you've not given already, give. God will bless this. God, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. The idea is, I cannot start looking at people and say, hey, you this, and you that, and you this, and you that. No, it doesn't work that way. My faith has to be in God and trust God that he will meet all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus means by people that are willing to serve. That is part of the meaning. They come and they know it is my responsibility to serve. And I'm going to serve with my finances. I'm going to serve with the giftings God has given to me. I'm going to serve through the anointing that God has placed in my life. I'm going to serve with the experiences God has given to me. I'm going to use everything that I am and present it so that the work of God can continue, so that a life can be transformed, so that those that need to go preach can go preach. Hallelujah. You know, for example, we have Mission Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the month. That means I have all month to plan to give an extra gift to the Lord for the promotion and proclamation of the gospel in whichever way it needs to be done. A whole month. So it's Mission Sunday. And somebody comes and drops 10 cents in there. I don't know if that happens, but I say, whole month? 10 cents? You're going to go to McDonald's and you're going to pay $20 for a hamburger? Is that what they call it? Hamburger? No, but you come to church. Now it's how do you go to eat at Burger King and go pay at McDonald's? How is that possible? But we come to the house of God. We hear the word of God. And then we go splurge at Burger King. It doesn't compute. No, we want to lock in into God's agenda, seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto us. Now, I asked about 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to wrap up with 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And this is what the word of God says. It says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven. If my people. So, the if is a qualifier here. It's saying, if you do this, and this, and this, and this, I'm going to do something. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, who are called by my name. Let me help myself. Something wrong with our screen? 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. And verse 14. Sometimes that happens. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, the desire to behold me, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But it is contingent on the fact that my people humble themselves. My people who are called by my name. What does that mean? In number 6, it says that you should put my name on them and I will bless them. So, my people who are called by my name are the people that are in the blessing. Right? Wait a minute. You mean they are blessed? Shouldn't they know to humble themselves? No. It is a decision to come into alignment with what God's word is stating. Humble yourself. Pray because you understand that you need God. Seek my face because you need counsel from God. Turn from their wicked ways because you know that if you are not doing the will of God, you are under the influence and the control of the wicked ones who are operating from heavenly places. He says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And then, watch this, even before they do anything, he just said, this is what I require. God says, I'm going to do my part. Even before you do your part, I'm going to do my part to make sure that the ability necessary for you to respond is available to you. He says, now mine ears shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually, in essence, forever. And as for thee, as for you, if thou wilt walk before me, it's talking to Solomon, and if you will walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. See, that's my commitment to you. But you got to, all of you, need to humble yourself. You need to pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. And then it says, that's for all of you. Now, you, Solomon, and this is very interesting because there is a word that God gives to us all corporately, but then there is a word that God gives to you as an individual. Let me say that again. There is a corporate word that He gives to everybody. But then there is a very personal word that God gives to you as an individual. And that's what God did here. He says, you, this is what? If you want to experience the covenant promise I gave to your father, which is that you are always, or he is always going to have somebody on the throne, this is what you got to do. And by the way, he'd given him all the wisdom that he needed. Because he sought not his own good, but he sought out the good of the people. God says, what do you want me to do for you? He says, this is a great people. I need wisdom to handle this group. God says, because you didn't ask for riches and you didn't ask for this and all kinds of stuff for yourself, you got that and you got the wisdom. Because not only do you have the wisdom, now I'm going to add money to you. Because if you're going to win, you got to have wisdom and money. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God sees him. He says, but guy, you got to observe and do what I said. He says, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I've said before you, they are before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Excuse me, what's going on here? You talk to everybody. Then you talk to me and say, you got to do this. And then he says, and if you don't do what I said to you personally, it's going to affect everybody. My personal sin doesn't affect you. No. What you do affects everybody. That's a principle. It's going to affect everybody. So it's not just about you. It's about us. Even when God is dealing personally with me. Did you see this? Did you see that? Or did I make that up? It's right there, isn't it? Yes? If you want the legacy to continue, you got to obey me. But if you don't, if you don't follow through, everybody is going to be plucked out of this land and exiled. And it'll become a byword among all nations because of what I did. Yes. You think your sin is private? It affects everybody. What I do affects you. What you do affects me. Therefore, my private life and my public life have to align with his will and his purpose, because ultimately that private life of mine is messing up things for you. That private life of yours is messing things up for me. That's why we need to fight for each other. Pray one for the other. Trust God. And recognize that we are responsible for each other. I encourage you to go on to private time. Actually, why don't we just finish it? 21 and 22. Verse 21. And then we'll be done. Verse 21, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 21. Did your screen freeze again? It says, and this house, watch this, And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. And this becomes the major question. How did it become them? Because the context of the statement is this. Go to verse 19 or 20. 19. Verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them. 18. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 18. So I get it all contextually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, talking to Solomon, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up. So from the personal to the corporate. And now when the passage ends in 21 and 22, he goes to the corporate. 22, and it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. How did they get there? Because Solomon went off. Are we together? So because of Solomon, everybody gets messed up. That's why you need to pray for your pastors. Pray for your leaders, because if they go off, everybody goes off. People get messed up. Look at churches. Great men and women of God that went off, and their churches have gone crazy. Just gone crazy. You know, in some churches today, you the pastor is messing around. He's sleeping with everybody. I don't know how a pastor can be sleeping with everybody and stand behind the pulpit. What are you preaching? To whom are you preaching it? So if the pastor is all messed up, you know for sure the members are all messed up. They're shacking together, swapping wives all over the place. But they come to church, hallelujah, hallelujah. Craziness. Because there's no responsibility there. What are you going to preach? I saw a pastor. I couldn't believe it. He's saying, all that stuff that God is saying, you know, just sleep around. It is okay. It's okay. Where did God say anything like that? I said, you're not reading the Bible. The foolishness of man. You know, that's a result of people not putting on the whole armor of God and understanding that I need to subject myself to the authority of God. I need to know that I'm responsible for my brothers and my sisters. And if I'm not towing my weight, somebody else is going to be struggling. So I need to pray. I need to fast. I need to cry out to God. I need to go out and preach the gospel. I need to give. Because if I'm not giving, that pastor is going to turn, his whole hair is going to turn gray and he's going to get wrinkled and he's going to die. Because he's worried about how am I going to pay the bill, how am I going to turn the lights on, how am I, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm going to play my part. Don't let me keep on going. Let's say, hallelujah. It is well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're in this together. Amen. Let's take on our responsibility and do what is righteous in the sight of God and assume nothing and presume nothing and just love and recognize I am my brother's keeper. I take ownership. I take ownership for your protection. And God says, get up, pray. I start praying. When I remember you, then I pray for you. Hallelujah. If I can call you, I'll call you and say, what's going on? I just say, hey, my daughter, my son, I bless you. There's greatness in you that God is going to just do amazing things with. And that maybe you're just feeling down, but somebody's calling and telling you, you're great. You can do it. Before you know it, you start saying, I can do it. I can do it. That's what we do for each other. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Praise God. The commanded blessings come to those who walk together in unity. Father, we are thankful for the privilege of sharing your word today. Let this word impact lives, locally and globally. Let sons and daughters who are receiving this word this very moment be so energized in their spirit, in their soul, a Lord of God, that they begin to declare, oh God, help me to stand strong. Help me to help my brothers. Help me to make myself available for the mighty move of your spirit. Thank you, Father, that it is well with us all. For your hand rests upon us and you're helping us to walk victoriously. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.